It's that time of the week where we need to look back on the biggest technology stories of the week. And guess who's with us? I give you three guesses and the first two don't count. It's Fevzi Turkalp. Hello, Fevzi.
Morning.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
From the free tech help website, gadgetdetective.com, of course. We're beginning with our gadget of the week. Now, listen, I read this beforehand when you said this is what you're doing. I'm thinking, you're losing your touch. This sounds as dull as ditch water. What are they?
Well, thank you for the vote of confidence. I assure you I'm not, because these are rather special. So this is from a company called Kitsound, or a brand called Kitsound, and they are called the Parallax Bookshelf Speakers. So they're a pair of bookshelf size speakers. What's special about them is the feature set they've got, the quality, build and sound, and the money that they're charging for it. So they are good quality speakers, but they have they're powered speakers, first of all, so you don't need to connect them to an external amplifier. The amplifier is built into it, so you've got a choice of three inputs for this. You can either have conventional line level audio input via phono plugs, which is, you know, just a conventional way of hooking up a pair of powered speakers, but you've also got an optical audio input, which means if you wanted to put these in a bedroom and connect the audio output from your flat screen TV, almost all of those have got an optical audio output, which means it's a digital audio stream on a little glass fiberglass cable, and it gives you excellent sound. Or the third and probably the most novel is the fact that it's got built-in Bluetooth, so you've got Bluetooth input as well. So they come with a remote control, and one thing the remote control does, allows you to switch between the three inputs. So if you've got Bluetooth, so from your smartphone or from your tablet, you can feed directly wirelessly in. So that's really nice, because what that means is you can have all three things hooked up. You can pair with the Bluetooth, you can have the optical in from your TV, and then you can have the line input from some other device. You don't have to plug and replug any of those, you just switch between them from a remote control. The other nice thing about it is that if you're connected via Bluetooth and you use the remote control to control, you know, the volume, bass, treble and that sort of thing, that's fine. That's what you would expect. But in addition to that, you can control the Bluetooth connected device. So you've got an infrared signal goes to the speakers and then back out to the device. So you can skip tracks, you can pause and play from the remote control. You don't have to go and find your smartphone or wherever it is and operate that. But the basics of this is quite simple. The sound quality is very good. The build quality is surprisingly excellent. And, you know, the oomph they've got is 2 × 30 watts, and that's true 30 watts, what they call RMS. So all of that for a shade over £130, £136.
You see, here's my beef. Here's my beef, Fevzi. We're all kindled up. We're all electronic book readed up. We don't have bookshelves anymore.
They say that. I mean, actually, they sit nicely on a desk.
Oh, wow.
And by the way, one good use of this is you can also use it as the sort of the audio output for your computer, your laptop, or what have you. So either via, you know, Bluetooth or a wired connection. So I think they're rather special, because this is the sort of money you would spend on, you know, a fairly sort of medium-end Bluetooth speaker set. But they're normally two speakers in one unit, and they lack the stereo separation. These things, they're connected together by a cable, one to the other, so one feeds the other. But you can get sort of 6 or 8 feet stereo separation with these, which you can't get on anything else that, you know, is an all-in-one unit. So if you don't need...
I'll let you off.
Now, listen, if you don't need the portability, this is actually a really good choice for a set of Bluetooth speakers, because it's got, you know, proper 4-inch glass fibre, you know, cones on it, and silk tweeters and all the rest of it. So it's nicely made. When you feel it, it's heavy. You pick it up, it's heavy. It's got the feel of quality about it, which sort of belies the price.
Anybody under the age of 16 is going, tweeters, what is he on about? I've got no idea.
Well, that's anyway. The thing. Look, I just say this. We, you know, with the advent of the iPod, we started that journey where we stopped thinking about audio quality and started thinking about audio quantity. How many tracks could we fit into our pockets and all of this sort of thing, and now we need to start. We've got the quantity, we've got the bandwidth to have high quality sound, but now we need decent speakers to attach them to.
Let's talk about robots and whether they're taking over the world or not, and if they could be suitable companions for the elderly.
Yeah, so there was a report this week by an accountancy firm or management consultancy firm, PwC, PricewaterhouseCoopers, and they predicted that something like 30% of existing jobs in the UK were at risk of robot automation. They've pointed, I mean, this is not unique to the UK. The figure's 38% in America, which is interesting when you consider the promises that have been made there, 35% in Germany and 21% in Japan. So large swathes of jobs, particularly manual jobs, transport jobs, are not only, I would say, at risk of automation, but almost certainly will go, you know, within the coming years. So they've said transportation and storage, 56% of jobs at risk, manufacturing, 46%, wholesale and retail, 44%. Even people like accountants and lawyers, by the way, are going to have their jobs automated, because although there is some you know, human touch to it, a lot of it is the ability to understand, for example, case law. And as our AI, such as it is, gets smarter, you know, these jobs will start to go. And there's a good side and a bad side to that. So you mentioned elderly care. So one of the big areas that robot companies or AI companies are working on is the use of robotic carers, particularly for the elderly. And that's probably not an entirely bad idea when you consider that globally we're an aging population, certainly in the West, and there are more old people, therefore, and fewer younger people existing to look after them, much less able to. And the cost implications of care are completely, you know, out of control. So if that could be done more cheaply using machines that don't lose their patience with dementia patients, for example, who will be able to even, you know, replay video and just remind them of people who aren't there. There was a study, for example, that showed that where robots were giving patients their medications, if the robot showed on its screen a picture of a loved one, that the patient was far more likely to accept the medication, which again is a problem, because particularly older patients tend to start refusing meds at some point. Or
distraction
food.
Technique works with babies as well. You do aeroplane impressions. I've tried it.
I'll just say to you that the problem with all of this is that when you replace a sufficient proportion of the workforce with automation, yes, that's cheaper for the companies, and therefore the companies will be able to. But who are they going to offer their services to if more than a third of the country don't have income? And are we going to head, as one or two countries are starting to experiment with, to an idea where actually everyone gets a state income?
Where social science and technology collide, and we are left to pick up the pieces, Fevzi. Pleasure as always. You and I have got a little while to go before we need suitable companions.
They'll be quite good by then, I hope. I'm hoping. I don't want a clunking great robot sort of taking my temperature or whatever.
But people are getting more and more aware of it, though, because, of course, last night Red Nose Day did this rather strange skit on Stephen Hawking's voice, yes, and people auditioning for it. So I quite like that. I thought that was a nice idea. Yeah. People are becoming more and more understanding about these sort of things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Stephen Hawking's quite old school about this.
Oh, yeah.
They've long since offered him a more up-to-date voice, but he likes his voice.
Yeah, I totally agree. And he said, you know, it's one of the examples I give when I'm talking to people about the voice is, you know, he said he doesn't want to change it because if you change it, you change who he is. You change your voice, you change your personality. Fevzi, a pleasure as always. Gadgetdetective.com if you want more information on all these points. Out of, you do 5 or 10, I forget, for your bookshelf speakers.
4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. You'll find more gadgetdetective.com, and Fevzi will be back next week. We'll speak to you then.